Welcome back. Still Hard Facts, originally live from 92.3 Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt, your number one station for talk. I'm Dyer. Discussions continue. Thanks for staying tuned. It's 9 minutes gone past 4 p.m. And right now, we're diving into the matter of health. Health is wealth, they say. Very important, no doubt about that. Well, NARD's ultimatum has finally, inevitably, expired. Well, here's a story from the Punch's perspective. Doctor's ultimatum ends today. Hold neck meeting Saturday. Reminder, this was published yesterday. The two-week ultimatum issued by the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors to the federal and state government ends today, today being yesterday, Monday. The association has, however, scheduled its extraordinary National Executive Council meeting for Saturday, September 10, in Jos Plateau State, to deliberate on the ultimatum. Now, the resident doctors had on July 30 issued a two-week ultimatum to the federal government to implement all the agreements it had with the association or risk an indefinite strike. Now, NARD's demands include the payment of the newly reviewed Medical Residency Training Fund, the immediate implementation and payment of the new hazard allowance and arrears, and several others. Again, August 21, the association extended the ultimatum by 2 weeks to give room for intervention by the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Labour and Employment. And it was gathered that the federal government is yet to implement the increased hazard allowance and the newly reviewed MRTF. So that's the situation at the moment. The ultimatum has expired. What next? What's going to happen? I'd like your projections about this. I'd like your projections, your permutations and your combinations. Will Nigerian doctors embark on a strike or not? What do you think is going to happen? Factor in all the information available to you, antecedents, precedents, you name it. I'd like to get your projections via facebook.com/NigerianInfoPH, via Twitter at NigerianInfoPH. I'll get there shortly. I remember we're also streaming live there. But joining me via phone for the moment for this conversation, Dr. Gadia Ishaya, his national president of NARD. Dr. Ishaya, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, and thanks for having me.
Let's get straight away then. I'm sure that the last couple of weeks have been a very, very busy one for you. I'm aware, as informed me yesterday, that you embarked on a long journey of travel. And I do imagine that you may have been embarking on several journeys in the last couple of weeks, holding negotiations, deliberations, consultations, you name it, possibly in a bid to avert a looming strike. So, thank you for making out time for this conversation. That's what I was driving at. Now, that said, just a reminder, before we get to the ultimatum and what may have transpired in the last 2 weeks and what possibly will come up in the coming days or coming weeks, can you please, let's go back in time as to what the issues are. What exactly were the issues or are the issues that led to this two-week ultimatum in the first place?
Well, thank you very much again, and thanks, listeners, for having me on board this evening to share the issues that we have been having with the federal government, those issues we have advanced before the authorities to look into it. You recall that we, as a nation, at the very critical time that we're experiencing, upsurge or an epidemic of brain drain, all occasioned by poor working environment and also welfare issues. And it is because of these conditions of services that we have actually been taken on the government to try and look into it, to avert the epidemic of brain drain that we've started to notice of recent. So last year we embarked on a 2-month strike, 2-month-old strike, and we reached certain agreement with the government, and we felt we cannot continue on strike at infinitum while we have a teeming Nigerian population, patients to cater for. So we resumed the strike, and continue to work on other issues on the table. But we were able to make some achievements significantly, but some other issues remain unresolved. And in those issues that we thought we have made achievements were the issues of the hazard allowance that we actually complained of during our last strike. It was not tenable that a health worker should earn 5,000 naira as a hazard allowance while we have the gamut of risks and health work-related hazards that we face. Tanzanian health workers were the least paid in terms of hazard when you compare with all other civil servants in the Federation. So we brought that out. We had a negotiation that lasted for over 6 months. In December, the government was able to unilaterally come with a circular that apportioned certain amount to various cadres of health workers, even though we didn't, that did not sit down well with us because we felt it did not go with the principle of collective bargaining agreement. But we have to now come back and accept it for us to make progress. We accepted that, but 7 months down the line, it was not implemented, and we felt that was not fair. We brought it before the government and pushed that new hazard allowance that was circularized by the government themselves. They have to implement it. So, during the ultimatum period, we were able to visit or take do follow up on those issues. And we got to understand that the hazard allowance was captured under service-wide fraud, and that required that the Ministry of Health apply before the fund will be released for onward payment. And during the period, we were able to push the ministry to forward the application to the Ministry of Finance for the Minister of Finance to make the release. So far, we can say there have been some progress, but it has been very slow. Up till now, as we speak, the money has not been released, but we have seen communication going from the ministry to the Ministry of Finance, and within the Ministry of Finance, they are working on trying to see that those things are being resolved. As well, sometimes in February this year, the service-wise circular was released, reviewing the duty to allowance for all the public officers and civil servants. The component of our medical training allowance actually is made up of the duty to allowance, just like any other civil servant that is when you send for an official engagement, they are supposed to be paid. And that was what we fought for. We had to fight for it to get it as medical residency training fund allowance. So when this TTS circular was reviewed, that should have translated automatically in the review of the medical residency training fund allowance. But we realized the government was not keen at trying to review it. So we pushed it as one of the demands. And,
so once again, these are issues that you had reached an agreement with government with.
Yes. So I want to take you on the issues because you asked me to take the issues as they were, and that's why I had to start with that.
All right, go ahead.
But so far, these are the issues we have reached. Not that we have conclusively reached agreement with the government, because as we speak, we haven't been able to receive the payment. And we have the issue of the acute manpower shortages that we raised. And the issue of no payment of salaries or the salary areas that have been owed to our members by various state governments. Like the Abia state government, that's still owing our members about 24 months in salary areas. And my members have been on strike there at Abia State University Teaching Hospital for the past 18 months. And the government of Abia State keep on giving one the reason or the order. Keep on telling us that they will make the payment. And up till now, we have not seen that promises have translated to real action. So those are issues that we still have. We still have Imo State government owing 3 months in the full non-payment of salaries and 6 months of half salary payment to our members. And we have IT that is still owing 2 months and still on
the. Dr. Shaya, something tells me that 1 hour might not be enough to list what the issues are with the health sector, especially as affects
your. Exactly.
Especially as it affects your members. So you gave the government a 2-week ultimatum. That 2 weeks ultimatum elapsed, I think, yesterday or thereabouts. What transpired or what has happened in the last 2 weeks during the ultimatum period?
The only things that have happened were the things I was saying earlier, that so far during the ultimatum, we have seen a communication from the Ministry of Health to the Ministry of Finance to release the money for the hazard allowance and medical residency training fund allowance. Up to now, the fund for the hazard allowance have not yet been released, but I got information earlier yesterday that the minister have directed that the medical residency training fund allowance be released. I'm here to set an eye on the directive to the accountant general. So those are the problems that we can say we have
met. Is this comforting?
And also the government is trying to form a committee that will be looking into a replacement of our members as soon as they exit, because the existing process with the bureaucratic bottleneck, it was meant to be done annually, but with the rapid exit of our members almost on a monthly basis, another processes in replacing existing civil service have to come in place for that to change.
Well, Dr. Shaya, you said you got word that the Ministry of Health has sent some communication to the Ministry of Finance to receive funds. Now, is that comforting? Is that comforting for you and other members of your association? Because you said over 7 months ago, the federal government secularized a position as to payment of or increase in hazard allowances, and there was a circular. I mean, when the government releases a circular, for civil servants, I believe for them it means it's done and dusted. That means government has accepted. That means government is about to implement. But 7 months or so down the line, there's been no implementation. So are you comforted when you say that you heard or you found out that there's been some communication from Ministry of Health to Ministry of Finance to release the funds?
Well, I wouldn't be able to speak for the National Executive Council, because it was the National Executive Council that took the decision. Mine is to follow up, engage, communicate their decision. And I've done, this is what I've been able to find out from the government. And that is why I have also tried within the confines of the Constitution, our Constitution, to convoke an emergency meeting following the expiration of the ultimatum, so that they will come, we'll brief them on the progresses we have made so far and the hurdles we are still encountering.
All right. In the last 2 weeks during your 2 week ultimatum, did you receive any official communication? I know you said that you heard that or you found out that Ministry of Health is communicating with Ministry of Finance, but did you get any official communication from any government official on this matter?
Yes, the communication to the Ministry of Finance was copied to us to see the progress that the government was making. And we have been able also to get a circular for the upward review of the Medical Residency Training Fund, even though it hasn't been implemented, we will have to start another battle on the implementation. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that
Dr. Ishaya, please hold the thought. I have to go for commercial break now. We'll return in a moment. Advocates will be back. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, welcome back to your number one talk station. It is Hard Factor and I'm Dial. 29 gone past four, conversation continues. And doctors, resident doctors ultimatum ended yesterday. The two-week ultimatum given to the federal government ended yesterday. And the NARD is holding its neck meeting this Saturday. Joining me via phone discussing this development is Dr. Gudia Ishaya. He's national president of NARD. Dr. Ishaya, welcome back. Now, before the break, you were trying to bring something, I think, very important to my attention. Can you go ahead with that?
Yeah, what I wanted to bring to your attention is that because you alluded to the fact that when circulars are issued, it means the issue is done and dusted. Based on our experience over the years, and just as I said, most of the time when circulars are issued, you still have to start the battle of the implementation of the circulars or the laws. That has always been the trend that we have had to sadly grapple with. So, and this one is also the same. And also the review of the medical residency training fund, unlike the duty to allowance that is being applied to every other person, we have to again start the fighting of the implementation of it again, which is what we are also doing at the moment. So those are the issues. What we have, our experience is not always the same. It's not always true that when circulars are issued to our favor, it means that the issue is done and dusted.
So, Dr. Ishaya, that suggests strongly that even the latest circular released as well, and including the letter from the Ministry of Health to Ministry of Finance that you say you were copied in, even all of this communication does not translate into an implementation of the agreements, does it?
Well, the letters actually, I can say they're different from the circular letters. The letter, this particular letter is specific and directed as to the need to start it. While in circular, it's usually a service-wide thing, putting people that this has been done.
Dr. Ishaya, are you absolutely certain then that due to this, as a result of this letter, implementation will commence in earnest? Are you certain of that?
I can say with certain degree of certainty that with the letters, I think progress is being made.
No, I'm not asking if progress is being made. I'm asking if you are certain that with this letter you talk about, that implementation will commence in earnest.
That is the general perception that we can say we have at the moment, that it will be implemented, or rather the issues as was raised in those letters will be attended to. And I say so because I've seen progress toward implementation. Until I see that the process is halted the way we didn't see any communication from December last year to July this year, then I will say there's progress has been made.
Right, you're holding a NEC meeting this Saturday, am I right?
Yes, sir.
So what is this NEC meeting supposed to consider precisely? And what could be the possible outcomes of this NEC meeting?
I may not be able to preempt the outcome, but we'll be able to present to the NEC the progress that I've made, what we have been able to see, these communications, and we'll be able to tell them the offices that it is, because the Ministry of Finance is a big office. It has an Accountant General office, the Budget office, and there is under it. And each of these MDs under the Ministry of Finance have role and function to play toward implementation of payments, like the ones we're talking about. So we have seen once it gets to the Accountant General office and get to the IPPIS office, we know it as the point of payment, and which is what we are seeing so far, the direction and the movement of the file towards that direction.
All right. What I'm asking you is, I mean, nobody knows the future. I don't think you can tell precisely what the outcomes of the next meeting would be. If you could tell precisely, then there might be no need for that meeting at all. But what I'm asking you is, these deliberations are with a view to deciding what exactly?
Well, we gave the ultimatum that if we did not see progress on those things or those issues being resolved, then industrial harmony may not be guaranteed. And the industrial harmony that we want to look at, whether the government has done enough that or they are doing for us what we are doing to the patients, or we can halt momentarily our work to protest the fact that other people are not working on our favor. So those are issues that the NEC will decide on.
And if NEC is not satisfied with the level of progress being made, are we looking at the possibility of a strike?
It's a possibility, and as well, the NEC may decide that the government have done enough, we need to applaud their effort, and those are all possibilities that we have to consider.
What exactly will amount to enough? What is the definition of enough as far as the NEC is concerned?
Just as I said, you may be surprised the NEC to consider this as being enough. While the NEC may decide that if it does not translate to payment, then it's not enough. And those are all possibilities. But of course, every NEC member will have to discuss with the Congress of those respective centers and come with the position of the center, and whatever they come with and proceed. That is what the national officers will have to protect and defend and execute.
And you're welcome to join the conversation right now. The lines are officially open. Call 0817-923-0002 or 0817-923-0003 or 0817-923-0007. What are your thoughts? Now it's 2-week ultimatum to the federal government has expired. I'm joined by Dr. Gadia Ishaya, NAD's national president, via phone for the conversation on this development. Any comments, questions? Let's hear them. Also, remember we're live on Facebook and Twitter. Drop your comments, questions there also. At Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. And once again, numbers to call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0817-93-0007. I've got some comments here already. Let's see. Let's start with this one. This one goes: Now, we don't need any intelligence report or any form of clairvoyance to be very certain our government will renege on some of its agreements with the doctors. Indeed, we've gone to the stage in our national life where it is absolutely strange for government to respect and implement industrial agreements to the letter. As you very well know, this unfortunate attitude of government is what has kept the universities under lock and key for the past 8 months. The question then is, when will government begin to have its word as its bond? Your guest should not be certain that government will do the needful. That's from Ben. Dr. Ishaya, Ben who sent this message in appears not to be as optimistic as you are. You've been using very positive terms like progress is being made, the general ideas to be implemented. But Ben appears to be very certain that the federal government of Nigeria will renege on some of its agreements with you.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't say that the government will renege because I don't want to be a pessimist. I'm always optimistic until when I find out that the government do not actually live up to the expectation. And then that is only when I will say that the government cannot do it. It is true that they have reneged on several agreements in the past and even agreement with us, just as I alluded to earlier. But I think if we see some sign that things are being done, it has to be said so. The government, of course, is a very heterogeneous set of individuals that work for the government, and you find out that most of the frustration we get actually coming from the civil servants and those occupying the lower cadre offices. And so I wouldn't be able to categorically say that the government will renege. We will cross our fingers and continue to see, just as I said, those we have observed will relay to the NEC, and NEC take their decision as to what we have been able to see happening. So I wouldn't be able to be definite as the person who actually alluded to that the government will renege.
What happens if Ben is right and the government reneges? What happens then?
We will definitely take appropriate position when government reneges. As I said, they may surprise everybody and implement, which will now come back and actually applaud their effort before we congregate in just, there may be even kudos, everything that we are saying may be sorted out before then, and we may not even have to even issue any other directive rather than to applaud the government on what they have done.
That's what we all want. I'm sure that's what every Nigerian wants as well. However, as even you have inferred in the course of this conversation, agreements reached with government in the past, we've had scenarios where those agreements have not been honoured. The latest, by the way, agreements you reached with government about 7 months ago. And it was only after you issued a two-week ultimatum, then letters started exchanging hands or computers between Ministry of Health and Ministry of Finance. So the ideal scenario is that government does live up to its responsibilities and implement what it has agreed with your association. However, in the event that that does not happen, which, going by the antecedents, will not be a most surprising scenario, in the event that does not happen, what is the next likely course of action from NAD?
Well, we have already set a wheel in motion that we needed to see this done fellow of which industrial harmony will not be guaranteed. So those are already issues that we have already set in. We've already communicated the government. So just as I said earlier, these positions will definitely be reviewed and appropriate action will be taken.
Once again, join the conversation. Call 0817-93-0002 or 0817-93-0003 or 0817-93-0007 via WhatsApp or on 0809-030-6416. We are live on facebook.com/Nigerian for PH, live on Twitter at Nigerian for PH. Speaking of Facebook, let's see. Ebi Ukugos, please, they should not, I believe, responding to the question, will Nigerian doctors embark on a strike or not? Upright Daniel goes, it's no longer funny, my brother. And Paul Antayebon goes, this country, Nigeria, is turning into a political 419, not doing what they promised. Dr. Ishaya, one of the issues you raised as far as your communications or negotiations with government is concerned is the issue of inadequate manpower, which is... I believe I've heard severally, and you mentioned as well, is down to the brain drain occurring at the moment on a massive level, Nigerian doctors emigrating to other countries of the world. How bad is this scenario? Because we've had a Minister of Health in Nigeria say, even more recently, that we have enough doctors, and anybody who wants to go can go, and that there are enough doctors in Nigeria. What is the true state of things?
What I can say is that that is a total detachment from reality, because any Nigerian who is either detachment or they don't visit the public hospital at all, because any Nigerian who live in Nigeria and visit the public hospital, the first frightening thing you see is problems of inadequate manpower, because many people, those who have are a little bit well to do, will prefer to go to private facilities than the public facilities, because of the depth of manpower. You have the waiting time. Most of the times, you spend hours without being attended to because of shortage of manpower. So, and even if we juxtapose the statement with what the Medical and Dental Council have released earlier this year of the total number of doctors that they have registered in its registry, you find out that it's far, 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 far below the 1 to 600 per patient population that the doctor is supposed to attend to. We have about 4,000 and 5,000 to patient population. So even with that, so not to even talk of the report we keep on getting almost on a daily basis or monthly basis of that. Recently, the GMC, that's the British Medical Council, released that they have registered over 9,000 Nigerian doctors. That's doctors who graduated from Nigeria and have immigrated to UK within 1 year. We are not talking of from the third day or the period that the MDCN started. So we have a lot of other colleagues that have immigrated to the United States of America.
Did you say within 1 year, Dr. Ish? Did you say within 1 year?
Yes, that was the report that was released, that they have registered about 9,000 Nigeria within the last period. I cannot remember the detail, but I am sure what I saw there is over 9,000 Nigeria, and I think they were giving update to what they are registration for this period. So
Now, your latest agreement with government regarding hazard allowances and other allowances, basically in the welfare package of doctors in the country, upon implementation, and let's hope against hope, I would say, that this agreement are implemented, since we have circulars now and since we have letters, being exchanged between Ministry of... apologies, I've lost connection with my guest. I will take time to reconnect with him now. Apologies, I've been unable to reconnect with my guest, Dr. Gadia Ishaya, National President of the Nigeria Association of Resident Doctors. But maybe a few comments from you as we wrap up the discussions. But in case you just join in, here's an update of what's going on thus far. About 2 weeks ago, NAD issued the federal government with a two-week ultimatum. And that 2 weeks was to give government enough time to implement agreements that it has entered into or reached with NAD as regards allowances, has the allowance of all the allowances that have to do with the overall welfare of health workers, especially doctors. Also addressed matters of, brain drain or the workforce, the number of doctors and employment and all of that. Now, about 7 months after some of these agreements were reached, non-implementation from the government forced NAD to issue a two-week ultimatum. That two-week ultimatum expired yesterday. Now, this Saturday, the Executive Council of NEC, will be meeting in Jos in Plateau State to deliberate on the situation. And we'll know after that meeting, I suppose, what the next course of action for doctors in Nigeria will be. But I'm getting your take now. Maybe a few more comments once again before I have to go for an inevitable commercial break. Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003 or 0007 via facebook.com/NigerianInfoPH, also via Twitter at NigerianInfoPH. Right, Kevin Dial, our leaders who are in governance are wicked. If not the health sector, education and other sectors are not right to embark on strikes before the demands are met. In this case, the government will fail. Adol Gabriel sent that. And what is striking about this situation for me is that constantly government reaches agreements with unions and does not deliver on its agreements. And I'm sure that if the doctors were to embark on a strike eventually, and the strike lasts 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe 1 month, Nigerians will start to beg the doctors to have mercy. Nigerians will start to talk about, didn't the doctors take an oath? Didn't they take an oath? Your doctors have reneged on their oath. They are wicked. And there's no pressure on government. It's about let them look at the suffering masses. Let the doctors look at the masses. The same way that ASUU is being pressured right now to call off the strike without any recourse to as to whether or not agreements reached with ASUU has been implemented.